I bid you welcome and good evening. Jeff Bennett here with another installment of The Edge of Darkness. Glad to be here. How many of you are on Facebook? I know the network is. And each of us, on an almost continual basis, continue to witness censorship on Facebook. Recently, a friend of mine submitted a piece to publish, which I've done. And he had posted something on his personal Facebook page, some video shot outside of a hospital in Lancaster, PA. And the video showed protesters who were opposing the hospital's decision to require all personnel to get vaccinated against COVID-19. And a speaker in the video pointed out that the vaccines being marketed never completed the normal full scope of FDA testing, as we've shared with you many times, and were being made available pursuant to emergency use authorizations, or EAUs. All of that is undeniably factually true. And yet, nonetheless, within hours, Facebook shut down the video and advised my friend that he had violated community standards by spreading disinformation about vaccines. I pose a question to you. Do you think Zuckerberg's massive investment in RNA vaccine development has anything to do with Facebook's censorship of vaccine information? These questions started my friend wondering, why did Facebook care so much about this topic? Was it really just a matter of an overriding need to impose groupthink and conformity, or was there something else at play? And so he began to look. As we all know, Zuckerberg owns Facebook, but he also owns a number of other entities. One of these is called the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. Zuckerberg's wife is named Phyllis Chan. And when Zuckerberg and Chan created the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative in 2016, they announced that they would be putting $3 billion into curing disease. Well, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative is typically described as a philanthropic initiative, as if they were a nonprofit of some sort, but it's not. The initiative is an LLC, controlled completely by Zuckerberg and Chan. And the LLC structure allows Chan and Zuckerberg to invest in nonprofit and for-profit entities. So the initiative is involved in a whole host of ventures. One of them is something called BioHub. It was stood up with an initial investment from Chan and Zuckerberg of $600 million. And it's located in California, adjacent to the campus of the University of California's San Francisco Mission Bay campus. Now, just a quick look at BioHub, its personnel and direction it's taking shows that it is focused intensely on vaccine development, and more specifically on RNA vaccine development, meaning exactly the kind of vaccines currently being marketed for use against COVID-19. BioHub has an entire section dedicated to vaccine development operations. And the man tapped to head that section is one Peter Kim, formerly the head of Merck Research. Merck, of course, is one of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies. And one of the key advisors to the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative is Don Ganem, G-A-N-E-M, a virologist, head of infectious disease research at Novartis. And Novartis is currently one of the largest manufacturers of COVID-19 vaccines. Of course, Ganem is apparently remaining in his position with Novartis, even as he takes on his new role with BioHub. And a quick look at BioHub's website confirms that these personnel personal move suggests that BioHub is focused on viral research and the development of vaccines. It states, as the COVID-19 pandemic has shown, infectious diseases and emerging new viruses remain a major threat to human health. Our goals are to understand virus-host interactions as a guide to developing antiviral therapeutics, to develop vaccines that can prevent infection, to preemptively identify emerging viruses, and to disseminate the technologies needed to diagnose and discover the source of microbial infections in the developing world. And their statement concludes by saying these efforts are anchored by the pioneering work of CZ BioHub, co-president Joe DeRisi in microbial genomes and genomic diagnostics, and by senior investigator Peter Kim, whose lab is developing new strategies to enable vaccine creation. Well, that text appears below an image of something called a chikungunya virus. Chikungunya is a viral disease, and there is currently no vaccine nor specific drug against that virus. Additional information available on BioHub's site makes clear that the primary focus of their efforts is on RNA viruses, which would be the exact type of virus represented by COVID-19 and other coronaviruses. In short, Zuckerberg and his wife are now in the business of developing and marketing vaccines, with a particular focus on vaccines that are used against exactly the kind of viruses represented by COVID-19. And they've already invested a massive amount of money in this effort. And given the anticipated market for RNA virus vaccines going forward, as COVID mutates and booster vaccines are required, they stand to reap a return of billions of dollars on their investment. And so, my friends, when Zuckerberg's minions at Facebook shut down any criticism of vaccines and do their best to stamp out vaccine hesitancy, what they are really doing is protecting their boss's investment. And if the world wakes up and begins asking questions about the necessity for new vaccines or the methodology used in ensuring they are safe, the Zuckerborg stands to lose a boatload of cash, which cannot be allowed to happen. Cue the fact checkers. Bury the truth. My friends, this is the new world in which we live. One in which big tech, big pharma, big government fuse, and the average American is expected to shut up, sit down, and do what he or she is told. We have elected representatives who are supposed to stop this kind of thing from happening, but then those reps have an insatiable desire for campaign contributions, and America's robber barons have a lot of money to donate. The vaccines continue to be marketed. All independent debate about their safety or necessity continues to be crushed. Zuckerberg continues to win, and you and I continue to lose. Commentary from Charles Faddis. It becomes increasingly more frustrating. I, as most of you know, was not in yesterday. I've been putting off something for over 6 months, and I had to finally go deal with it yesterday. I had some strange growth under my ear, and I went and got a test on it some months ago. And they made reference to the fact having a little bit of a basal issue, which meant effectively it was cancerous, and that I needed to go in and get it cleaned out. And I finally made the appointment and kept to it and went in there. It wasn't very long. It was not painful, per se. Obviously, they, you know, shoot you up with a little bit of a vaccine of some kind and deaden it, go in, do their thing. They needed about 10 minutes to go double-check, make sure they got everything, and they had to come back, take a little bit more. And they let me go, set up a follow-up appointment for 3 weeks from now. And I came home, grabbed my other car, took it in because I've got a issue with one of my tires, and I've got warranty on our tires and everything, so they're going to take care of it. It's an hour and a half. An hour and a half to get a nail out of a damn tire. And the entire time I'm there, there's three guys at the front desk at Discount Tire continue to answer phone calls and get into sales pitches instead of saying, may I call you right back? You know, they don't care about taking care of the people that are standing there waiting to get the job done. So they finally check my car in, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to sit there for an hour and a half. You're bored out of my mind. And this place is on the edge of a shopping center. And I went over into Marshall's. I went to Ross. Marshall's was interesting because I found something I've been trying to buy for 6 months and couldn't find it anywhere. And they happen to have some, so I grabbed one. That's just one of those little travel kits for your shaving stuff and your meds, your toothpaste, whatever the case may happen to be. And later on, I made some reference to some gal. And she said, well, why don't you go shop on Amazon? I said, because I don't shop on Amazon. Well, why not? I said, because I don't like Jeff Bezos. Bezos, whatever you want to call him. I won't do a business with the guy. Well, anyway, so I went to these three stores. And I mean, I got a pair of shorts on, but I've got a much warmer shirt on than I should have. And I'm walking back over. I had to get something to eat. I went into Village Inn, which I've long since not liked. And I found something on the menu that I really wanted, and they were, for many years, just superb pancakes. A waitress who wasn't too bright, and she comes over with these pancakes that were god-awful. But I ate them and got the hell out of there. And about this time, my car, they said, was ready. I went in there, and it took me 30 minutes to finally get to somebody who would give me the keys and give me my paperwork and let me go. Well, with the pain and the discomfort I had with this stuff wearing up, I came home. I went to bed at 2:00 yesterday afternoon and woke up after program time. But I'd already let Michael know there's a good chance I wasn't going to be there because I'd had this minor surgery and I was a little whacked out. And I woke up about 6:30, 7:30. I finally got up. I don't remember. And I went out to pick something up, came back home, did some things. Went back out again just to grab a cup of coffee and see some friends at the restaurant. And for the second night in a row, got there and found out they were closing at 10 o'clock. It's a 24-hour restaurant. They got people leaving left and right. They can't get enough people working to keep the place open. They got a relatively new gal who's been a waitress before, who's been coming in at 8 in the morning and leaving, you know, coming at working at 8 at night till 6 in the morning. They never have anybody working that length of shift. They can't get enough people working there. They've been paying this bogus unemployment money out for so damn long that people say, why the hell should I work? And the thing I got to eat last night was so putrid, awful, I just couldn't eat it. Thank God I had a huge bowl of fruit with it. That I ate and I was fine. Came home, went to bed. Could not sleep well. Some little bit of discomfort. I'm having to sleep in an angle I'm not used to sleeping in just because of this pain. Wound up having a little bit of bleeding last night. No big deal. We can get over that. And finally, sometime after 3:00 last night, I finally fell asleep and did not wake up until nearly 11 o'clock this morning. And that is the longest, best sleep I've had in so long. I'm tired now. I've had a long day. But I've got much to do. I've got little piddly things I've got to get done. Now, to be honest with you, I've got this earpiece on from my headphone. It's causing me discomfort tonight, but I'll manage to get through this. But that's why I wasn't here last night. Most of you know my programming over the last few weeks, a month, has been somewhat disheveled as far as reliability of being here. I try to overcome that. I think I made it every day last week. I don't remember. We open with a very unusual piece of music tonight. Not the normal music I would open with, very quiet. You'll understand as we move forward that it had a very distinctive reason for being the kind of music it was. The opening music will have much to do with the closing piece of music, but that you will then finally understand. I have not done much with websites again. I've started doing a lot of stuff, but still not caught up now. I've lost a couple of days now. We take a look at market reports today. Rhodium is sitting about where it was last week at 18,200. Palladium down $3 at 2706. Platinum down $9. No, $10 at 1,054 an ounce. Silver is still just dwindling. It was down the 25-something area yesterday, I think, for a while. It's back to a little over 26.06. It just seems to be in that low $26 an ounce range. God knows we could only buy it for that kind of money, but we can't. Gold off 230 on the day at $1,767.90. No, I'm not going to spend time with any commentary as relates to precious metals or investing. Not going to do a sales pitch tonight. None of that. Because I've got some other directions to go to. I've not updated that site for 3 days now. Today is the 30th of June, the last day of the month. Which cracks me up because it reminds me of an image I've seen on Facebook. It's a picture of a desk with a phone on it and a computer and a calendar. And the question is, what's wrong with this picture? You can't imagine the number of people that don't get it. The calendar says June 31st. There ain't no such thing. Got to have my laughs once in a while. Got to have my laughs every once in a while. The comment was once made by Alexander Pushkin, who states, why offer herds their liberation, their heritage each generation, the yoke with jingles and the whip? My friends, take a good look around. Take a good look at our country at this moment. This nation is enduring massive unemployment due to job losses caused by offshoring and the year-plus-long breakdown or lockdown and the election thief. Joey's opened the borders to drive wages of white people lower while simultaneously building the Democratic Party's voter base. Damn near impossible to find a hard defense of freedom from any representative in Congress, since the demon craps don't care. And the Republicans are wallowing in a bad case of, sorry, we can't help you. Neither party seems to represent the white American people who built the country and secured its civil liberty now, does it? American people cannot succumb to this demonization of everything it means to be a real American. Not in the traditional sense of America. But we mustn't allow the Democratic Party communists to succeed in pushing them into a self-loathing destruction of their sense of self. Any failure in this regard means that our demise, that just means our demise as a people. Once again, I refer back to Facebook, the number of times I've seen people on there making comments about, isn't it marvelous to turn on the television? It seems that most of the commercials now have got black couples or transsexual, can't figure out if they're men, women, boys, or girls type commercials, Asian commercials, mixed race commercials, but don't try to find any with just white folks in them. I don't really care about that personally. I don't pay much attention to too many of the commercials anyway. But one certainly cannot help but wonder just how long this nation will go under such a regime. A regime that goes out of its way to paint conservatives and Christians as domestic terrorists, white supremacists. Every single policy that Joey and Kamala Harris and Marx Incorporated are currently implementing are aimed at weakening us, making us ashamed and afraid to take a stand. And they're destroying the core of our spiritual heart and resolve, making the masses huddle like sheep, ceding their humanity, afraid they might be ostracized and deprived of the government largesse or a nice new party membership card and a DC driver's license. I was in Jack in the Box today. Hey, I got coupons out right now. I get two of my breakfast sandwiches for $4, okay? And for the first time in a long time, there were actually other people in there. Fairly young couple with their child. She kept waving at me. She was a funny little kid. And then a grandmother and her son and her granddaughter, who was 3 today. Cute little kid. Both of them were. And old guy sitting in front of me at another table. We were talking. It's kind of nice to see people in here. And then these two older women come in, past middle age. Not old, but they're past middle age. And they come in from the women's clinic next door. And one of them's got a mask on. And she would not take the mask off until she actually physically sat down at the table. And everybody's kind of looking at her like she's a nutcase. I cannot tell you. I wanted to walk up to her and say, look, we really appreciate your concern for us by not taking your mask off and infecting us with your disease. I just decided to shut up, not waste my time. One massive lie remains in Biden's continued assertion that the 2020 election was fair and honest and that he actually won it and that our current election system is honest. Oh, more and more information is coming out about that. It still may implode. Well, yeah, some conservatives might win a few local elections in the coming 4 years, but as long as the same mechanisms remain in place that allowed the Biden campaign to steal this election in numerous states, with millions of invalid mail-in ballots, unverifiable signatures and identities, maybe a conservative will virtually never be elected president of the United States, or these disunited states, for many decades to come. Maybe not for the rest of the century. Joey and his main radical squeeze, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and their bagmen, climate czar John Kerry, they want Americans in fear of a mythical climate catastrophe that they claim will destroy America over the next 12 years or so, when in truth, everything about their climate change policy is simply one huge communist redistribution of wealth scheme that hands U.S. funds to the poor of the world, to the detriment of all Americans. And in the process, they're also moving aggressively to place punitive handicaps on our own economy and our freedom. As we've already witnessed, Joey arbitrarily, unilaterally and illegally mandate the end of the Keystone Pipeline. And as if Trump's $4.8 trillion budget bill wasn't bad enough, in its structure to balance by 2035, this is never going to happen now. Now that the Democrats control the reins of government, because these Marxists deceptively profess to believe massive spending and debt causes no short or long-term damage to a nation, as they suggest, it is irrelevant because we owe it to ourselves. No, these are disciples of the modern monetary theory and a spend-till-you-drop philosophy, which explains the recent push by the Joey's regime for both a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill and a $6 trillion budget bill. As the nation already witnesses rising costs and retail prices and inflation, but largely due to many trillions of stimulus dollars already spent from 2008 to the present. With America spending more than any other time in history and a $30 trillion national debt, people should be preparing for the next economic collapse in the very near future. Because everything about Biden's economics is built on a Marxist and a Keynesian lie. And it's certain to do great damage to America in the not too distant future. But then I think it's already doing it. But more deception. It's all seen in the Biden regime's advocacy and facilitation of a hard push for all Americans to take the vaccine, the one that they call safe, even though there are many serious and sometimes deadly consequences from spike proteins associated with the experimental medical treatment that does not meet medical or scientific standards for a real vaccine. And while Joey said he wouldn't try to mandate it, behind the scenes, he and his administration are tacitly approving corporate America's mandate of the vaccine. As even U.S. Army commanders such as Major General Joseph McGee of the 101st Airborne Division use coercion to make their soldiers take the vaccine. And we see federal and state institutions and banks and schools and many left-leaning businesses telling Americans they can't do business with them or enter their establishments unless they can prove they've been vaccinated against the COVID. While we have many demanding employees taking the vaccine just in order to remain employed. And even worse, what if the COVID virus was absolutely a Chinese biological attack and the real lethal attack vector is the mRNA technology used in America's vaccines? What if the real attack is being delivered through the vaccine? More importantly, most importantly, why in fact are the chinky dinks and the Russians not using our mRNA vaccines? Because none of America's current enemies are using the technology at home to fight the COVID virus. And that's largely been made to appear much more deadly than it actually is. Yes, I have what I believe to be the answers, but we'll ask these questions to make you search for them on your own, just so you can see for yourselves. We'll be back in a moment.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
A superb continuation of the direction of our music for tonight. You will understand it in good time, my friends. Amongst the things that we see today are all white people. We're all being depicted as racist, white supremacists. Whether we know it or not, it is a justification for attacking conservatives and Christian within the bounds of the education system and the U.S. military. All America is being depicted as a racist nation today. Systemic racism supposedly runs rampant throughout every U.S. police department, and yet the white Marxists present themselves to be incorruptible. And above the same prejudices that they claim are inescapable by others, because they use dubious justification to attack America's heritage and founding. In February of this year, Paul Craig Roberts observed that the United States has had its own Kristallnacht, with lootings and burnings of businesses in many American cities by mostly people of color, under the guise of Black Lives Matter, encouraged, forgiven by Democratic administrations that instead of punishing the criminals, defund the police and bring prosecutions against white people who defended their property. White Americans are so intimidated that it is not only the South that permits monuments to Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson to be removed, but also the entire country where all monuments, even to Lincoln and Washington and Thomas Jefferson, are obliterated. Shockingly enough, I posted a headline to one of those very articles today. Monuments will be coming down beginning tomorrow. All over this country. What about the heart? What about Black Lives Matter? At the heart of the BLM organization, responsible for much of the destruction of America over the past 5 years, is a Marxist core, as evidenced by the June 5th, 2020 movement for Black Lives, when they issued this statement. That we are anti-capitalists. We believe and understand that black people will never achieve liberation under the current global radicalized capitalist system. And this from Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors, who on July 22nd of 2015 stated, "We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia Garcia in particular, we are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on ideological theories." And yet all across America's institutions and the corporate boardrooms, Marxism and Mao as cancel culture hide behind the manipulations and the bastardization of the English language in words like inclusion and anti-racism, all to build a platform to pursue the agenda that attacks the toxic masculinity of white men, as it also works to silence or censor Christians as homophobes. And the communist-inspired 1619 Project further serves as a weapon in the hands of America's enemies to facilitate racial hatred of America's white majority and dismantle and destroy America's founding and the Republic through a detailed plan to destroy the independence of the federal and state legislatures, the Supreme Court, all police organizations, and transfer the loyalty of the army from the Constitution to Uncle Joey and his tyrannical regime. My friends, this anti-American crap has actually found its way into our military academies through the hiring of so-called professors who embrace Marxism like a long-lost lover and then spread their mental delusions and deceptions to the young cadets, as witnessed in a 40-page policy proposal to West Point, which was entitled "West Point Fails to Teach Anti-Racism." It was written last year by fairly recent West Point graduates. And they essentially stated that there is no such thing as non-racist whites. And they demanded that West Point normalize anti-racism and radical inclusion. And further illustrating the dangers this sort of mentality or mentally deficient thinking carries with it, one young fool, Joy Schaefer, a white 2018 valedictorian of her 950-member West Point class, who wrote the following in her portion of the letter, when she stated, "I graduated without an understanding of how I could still be a racist despite my best intentions and the fact that I have always espoused equality of all people." And Schaefer bemoaned her failure to identify and call out microaggressions which enabled greater acts of racism. What a disgusting display of self-loathing and the demonization of white people this radical gutter trap represented, and in such an esteemed institution as West Point. Interestingly enough, I read a piece today about a young black man who migrated to this country from Haiti with his father, and he migrated legally. And he found out that he could become a citizen if he joined the military. He joined the National Guard. He was ultimately made a citizen. He was a bright young man. And he went on to West Point and graduated near the very top of his entire class. And they showed a photograph of him in complete tears the moment just before they threw their hats in the air in celebration of their graduation. And this young man was black. You know, rather than instilling pride in serving America, members of the U.S. Armed Forces are now being taught that America is founded and rooted in racism and evil, and that its entire history amounts to nothing more than a long series of crimes. And even the Geneva Convention prohibits the use of brainwashing techniques and intimidation against prisoners of war. And yet, our own Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, is subjecting them to intense scrutiny and investigations for right-wing or white supremacist leanings, and intimidating them through Marxist propaganda themes each and every day. So one lie after another, which each one larger than the previous, all designed to ultimately destroy and erase America's principles and virtues, to make way for a monstrosity that will be unrecognizable to older Americans. And without proper guidance and information along the lines of a true and factual historical account of America's past failings and numerous triumphs from those who know the truth, our youth will be left to the mercy of those who mean to enslave them forever. And these kids don't get it. They don't get it. I see changes in my eldest granddaughter, the absolute love of my life, that are very disconcerting to me. The kind of teacher she's had in college, the kind of other students that she's chosen to hang with, they've all been manipulated. They've all been lied. They're all living under the era of complete and total destruction. And now we face the elite oligarchs behind the Democratic Party communists. And they are intensely and extremely aggressively demanding that all Americans submit to their new world order and their Marxist, Maoist-inspired cancel culture program, and mechanisms that are certain to end the Republic and complete America's fundamental transformation into something foreign and repugnant to all freedom-loving people. And we sit on the front lines of a war to save our civil society based on our inalienable God-given rights. The rule of law and individual liberty. My friends, wake up. America's soul is under attack by an evil, godless ideology. And its foot soldiers and generals are currently holding the seats of government hostage, representing a very real and existential threat to freedom and liberty. And they're threatening to take our children and future generations while too damn many sit by complacent and apathetic, afraid to choose between the truth and the lies in their servility to the rising Marxist, Maoist cancel culture. And these same people lack the courage to save their own goddamn souls. For all practical intents and purposes, they may as well be holding signs that read, "I am a coward and a serf waiting to be fed by Uncle Joe." I have been very blessed in my nearly 20 years of having websites to have an amazing group of people who have continued to submit their writings and their work to me. Dr. Beeman, people who are no longer with us, J.D. Hayward, J.D. Longstreet, Alan Karuba. I look at people like Frosty Wooldridge. I don't publish as much of his stuff as I once did, but we stay in touch. I look at Joel Hirshhorn. We kind of lost track of each other for a while, and we've touched bases again. I've learned things about him I never knew, and I'm very proud to be carrying his work. Ron Ewart. There's some of his articles I have difficulty with, but most of them I continue to still publish. Justin Smith. It's a wide range of people who get it. They see it. Over the years, we don't have the readership at Federal Observer that we once did. I think that from the time Federal Observer began in July of 2001, just 7 weeks before 9/11, and with certain things that I was involved in putting together within days after 9/11, we had a massive readership. There are websites that have come together since then that did not exist at that point in time. Federal Observer was a relatively scarce type of a site. Now it's a dime a dozen. Everybody copies from everybody else. Oh, there's some good sites out there. Don't misunderstand. And sites that I draw from upon occasion. Interestingly enough, there's times that some of those people draw from Federal Observer, republish. Not as much as I take. As I've shared with you quite often lately, I grow weary. I grow older. I grow tired. I see things, I smell things that I do not like. My wife will never openly say this, but we did a miserable job with our own children. A rotten job. Both of them have gone in directions in their life that are appalling to me. Oh, come on. It's not like I was a perfect youth. When I was 18, smoked my first cigarette. Because I got into a fight with a girlfriend. Her family, South Station, Germany. Her family with the musicians came in to play with us once a week. She's a good singer, nice German girl. I'd get some weekend breaks once in a while and go spend time with the family. We'd go to Munich and all sorts of places all over Germany. It's great. And then she and I got an argument one night, and I just went up and had a cigarette. I've been smoking ever since. I know I should quit. But I ain't gonna. Because I don't give a damn anymore. It's not like I'm an over-heavy smoker. I've actually gotten to the point that I probably do a half a pack a day. Sometimes less, sometimes more. I actually went for the last couple of days. I think I had 3 cigarettes until a few hours ago. I see things that I don't like. And I see things that I don't believe we're ever going to recover from. I'd like to think that we could. But I think we've got a big problem. We've got a real shortage of independent thinking, freedom-loving Americans. Where do they all go? Or do they just finally come to the conclusion that there's not a damn thing they can do about it, so why bother? We'll just spend the rest of our life and we'll get by. Whatever happens, happens. I can't live that way. You know, I said to my wife, the time has come for us to sell this GD house and get out of here. Get the money for this place while the market's in our favor. And we'll rent for a while. Oh, it's too expensive to rent. I've done the research. I can find very affordable places for us to rent until the market tanks so we can get the hell out of here. Except the places I'm interested in moving back to are being grossly threatened by fire. I want to go back to the country. I've got 2 friends that live in Weatherford, Texas. And a local friend of mine here in Phoenix who is the guy that co-wrote the petition that we wrote and published 3 days after 9/11 to rearm the commercial airline pilots once again. Keep in mind, he was a pilot at that time. He was a very strong advocate for Second Amendment-related issues. His wife was the founder of Armed Females of America. I did a lot of work with them. They did a lot of work with me. And he drops a little note on Facebook the other day about they're packing up, getting ready to move. I decided to send him a private message. So what's going on? Well, we're going to move to this little town called Weatherford, Texas. I said, you got to be kidding me. Because what's even funnier about it is that about a month ago, I was looking at real estate in Weatherford, and I found some interesting places. Places that needed work. But they had acreage, and they had privacy. So, my friends, we have these issues. Do Americans have a longing and a thirst and a hunger and a desire for freedom again? Because we've sat there and given it up. I've shared this story with you before. Some years ago, John Stadtmiller was on his program. Happened to be in the midst of a fundraiser and openly, loudly on the air said, if you people don't begin to support this network, I'll shut the GD thing down. Well, the next day, he asked me if I'd fill in for him. Now, you know I don't take callers as a rule. Doing an hour program, I don't have time for it. Most of the time, I come to the air ready to go. And the fact of the matter is that a guy called up, and his comment was, well, I don't know what we all going to do if y'all shut the network down. I listen 14, 16 hours a day. And my comment to him was, what the hell for? Why don't you find 4 to 6 hours of the most important programs where you will learn things and be able to take them and share them with your family and your local neighbors, begin to make a difference in your own damn community. But all these years later, since that program took place probably 12, 14 years ago, I've not seen that kind of change in American people. Because here's the reality. Freedom-loving Americans can stop a large charge part of this anti-American agenda by refusing to live the lie and by shouting the truth to the skies in every public arena they can find. As millions more of us would join hand in hand to expose this rotten regime's lies and to reject them outright and refuse to give them space to support, to grow. Refuse to allow this lie to replace the truth. Solidify the communist illegitimate power within the halls of our federal government. You get it? Everyone has to reach deep within oneself to renew their individual spirit and physical independence and find the courage necessary to fight as hard as you can to stop this egregious assault against this country and her traditions and her principles and her founding. And save yourselves and your families in America from a complete communist takeover. And should the worst come to pass, my friends, as seen in former authoritarian and totalitarian communist regimes, it is better to win the day or to die on one's feet. A brave American fighting for freedom and liberty than to die upon one's knees. A worthless, spineless coward pleading for mercy from Americans worth nothing more than a bit of spittle in one's mouth and the weight of a bullet. Refuse to live the lie.
Sons of Scotland, I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Oh!
we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live.
At least a while.
I'm dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.